This is Building Resilience Podcast, episode 179, Reframe and Reclaim Rejection, with special guest Leanne Kim. Welcome to Building Resilience, a podcast where theory, practical strategies, and inspiring stories show you how to unlock your best life. I'm your host, Leah Davidson. As a certified life coach, speech-language pathologist, and nervous system resilience expert, it is my mission to teach you how to be more resilient to life's adversities. I will show you how to manage your mind, befriend your nervous system, process your emotions, and even eliminate stress. It's time to do more than just survive. It's time to thrive. Let's get started. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Building Resilience Podcast. I'm excited today to introduce you to a coach and a mentor of mine. Her name is Leanne Kim, and she is a local Torontonian. Leanne Kim is a business coach and the founder of Mamas & Co., a community for mama entrepreneurs. She is a host of the widely popular podcast, The Business of Thinking Big, and the author of the best-selling book, Building a Joyful Business. Leanne is on a mission to help women make a great living on their own terms, doing what they love. I am excited to share with you this interview. I hope you enjoy. Welcome, Leanne, to the Building Resilience Podcast. I am excited to have you because you have been one of my coaches and mentors, and I spent much time in your community, learned and grew so much. So I'm excited to have you on to share your wisdom with all my listeners. So if you could just take a few minutes to give a brief introduction about yourself, and then we will dive into our topic today, which I am excited to talk about as well.
Sure. And first of all, thank you so much, Leah. I feel so honored to get to be here. I'm having kind of a full circle moment.
That's right. Yes.
Here totally. We are, years after you were an A player in one of my coaching programs, and just such a delight to watch you grow and evolve. And I am excited to talk to your people today about this topic of rejection. But before we do that, my name is Leanne Kim. I'm a business coach specifically for mom entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. I live in Toronto, Canada. I have two kids of my own. I'm married to my dream partner. And I basically got doing this because I fell into a sales career when I was in my 20s. At first, I wasn't very good at it. And then I got better and better and better. And then by the time I had my kids, I was working in a job that I liked but didn't love, selling stuff that I sort of believed in, but I wasn't super passionate about anymore. And I had this aha moment one day when I saw that I had made the company $2 million in 1 year. And my take home was less than $100,000. And I thought, you know, I feel like I could take these skills and probably make a bigger impact on the world and probably help a lot more people. So in the early days, I thought I'll do sales consulting for like small and medium sized businesses and maybe do some training and things like that. Well, that quickly morphed into the women that I really wanted to serve were moms who were right. starting businesses. And a lot of these women, you know, they didn't come from a sales and marketing background. They really knew their stuff so well, but they struggled with the confidence side of selling and selling themselves. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I started coaching these women, it was like something in my soul was finally satisfied. And I knew that I was doing the work I was put on this planet to do. And I've been doing that. This is all coming up to almost a decade now of doing that work and loving it. And of course, we do have a community for mom entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. I'm still business coaching. I still do some consulting as well. But yeah, it's been quite a ride.
Yeah, no, I know. And I love to hear the journey, sort of how it all started, because we often see people where they are at a static moment and we forget that they started. There was a beginning for them as well, that it wasn't just, you know, you've built an amazing community, a thriving business, and, you know, well known. And I love having you here because this is local, like you're from Toronto and so well known in our Toronto community of women entrepreneurs, mother entrepreneurs. But it's nice to also hear, like, yeah, at one point you were sitting there going, I'm not sure I like doing what I'm doing. And how could I do a bigger impact in the world?
Yeah, and it may lead us to my first story about rejection. So I mentioned that I fell into a sales job. I felt deeply uncomfortable selling back in the early days. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to connect with people. The people I was selling to were like completely different people to what I identified with at the time. And I basically flunked out of my first sales job. I was so bad that the company said, you know what, we're going to put you in an admin role. And I remember that feeling of not being good enough. I remember feeling like it was like a dagger to my heart, because that was really the first time in my life I had been told that I wasn't good at something. And so fast forward a few years later, I was in a different sales role where I was actually really well trained and well supported. And I got really good at sales, especially selling things for other people. So other people's services, other people's programs, I was great at it. By the end of my traditional sales career, which spanned, you know, over a decade, by that time, I was like, I'm really good at this. I know what I'm doing. And then I decided to go my own way and start my own business. And I had been coaching people on sales, and I knew how to train people to do this, and I knew how to do it myself. But something shifted when I was selling my own skill set.
Absolutely.
All of a sudden, I started getting some yeses, which is great, but I also started getting my first few rejections as a business coach. And at the time, I had forgotten everything I learned about sales. I really took it so personally, and I made it about me. So I remember things in my head like, oh, that person thinks I'm not good enough to serve them, or that person thinks that I can't help them, or they're too good. I'm not there yet. I'm not at that caliber yet. So I had a lot of stories in my head about why I was getting rejected. Now, in fairness, I was doing a lot of prospecting. I was doing a lot of speaking, and I was shooting for the moon. So I knew that rejection was kind of a part of the game. And I also knew that from my previous sales career that you're going to hear some yeses and you're going to hear some no's. But in the moment, because I was so new to selling myself, I felt like they were rejecting me. I felt like when they said no, they were literally staring into my soul saying, you're not good enough. And that was a really tough pill to swallow. And it was really, it took a lot of inner work to overcome those initial feelings. But I tell this story because no matter where we are in our life, in our business, in our career, we are going to experience rejection. And so much of that experience is about what we make it mean about ourselves. Now, later I can share some strategies of how I've since overcome that and continue to work on this piece. But I think we're all human. We're all going to hear no from time to time. And sometimes it's going to hurt.
And I do think back of when my kids were younger, and it starts so early, that rejection of maybe not being invited to a birthday party or not being included at the game at recess. And this is a lifelong thing. Like, we face it a lot as entrepreneurs, and you often think of it in terms of being in the corporate world and the business world. But it's taking place on the school ground, and it's at such a young age. And when I think of like our development of our nervous system, making these imprints all the way along, like when you get rejected from that kindergarten friend, that is an impression that stays with you. And it's no wonder that years fast forward later, you're trying to, in some type of work, we're talking sales here, but it can be any type of work, you get that rejection. Basically, what happens is that exact feeling that you felt as that little five-year-old kindergarten kid, it resurfaces. And so it's no wonder that we do take it personally, because that's how our system has developed. And so we have to learn then, okay, how do I regulate myself enough, bring my thinking skills back online to realize, okay, it's not about me. It often is about them, or just not a good fit, or, you know, there's multiple reasons why. But I think it's important to see how it starts at such a young age, and it makes complete sense that we have this personal feeling.
It does. And thank you for mentioning childhood rejection, because I think we're living in a day and age where parents want to protect their children from rejection. Yeah. A great example of this is the participant ribbon.
Right? Oh, yes. Don't get me started on that.
Everybody's going to get a medal because right. nobody needs to feel bad that they lost. That's but I right. think, well, and we see that in school.
Yeah.
I was just chatting with my daughter's teacher, and he was saying that there's 4 feeder schools that go to this middle school. Mm-hmm. And one of them is notorious for inflating grades. They're inflating grades up to grade 5.
Yeah.
Just so kids can feel better about themselves, but then they're getting to the middle school and they're not prepared
That's
for
right.
the curriculum. So
yeah.
this is a great place to start in terms of reframe is, of course, rejection hurts. But if we can see rejection as a part, a critical part of human development.
Exactly. Yeah.
If we can understand that in order for us to be contributing human beings in the world, we have to have these negative experiences. We can't go through life with only, you know, sunshine and rainbows and gold right. stars everywhere, because at some point you're going to hit a place where you are rejected, you're turned yeah. down, you're cast aside. There's yeah. a lot of that right now. Our need to fit in, our need mm-hmm. to belong. Mm-hmm. And so we're creating these scenarios where we always fit in and we always right. belong and we always mm-hmm. get the yes. But I mm-hmm. think what's interesting to me about rejection is it is such a good teacher.
It is. Yeah.
Let it be.
Yeah.
So to use
yeah.
the example in my case, early days of being a coach and hearing no thank you or not right now, originally I was making it mean that I wasn't a good enough coach. Mm-hmm. Eventually, I got to the place where I could do 2 things. Number one, I could reframe that way of thinking. Mm-hmm. And number two, I could look at the person's feedback and I could choose whether or not I wanted to apply that feedback. In some cases, it just wasn't a fit. Mm-hmm. But in some cases, people would actually share where they felt I was deficient. Mm-hmm. And I had the opportunity to say, is that an area where I want to gain more skills? Mm-hmm. Or is that an area where in some cases it wasn't me, it was the offer itself? Is that right. an area where do I want to change this offer? Do yeah. I want to provide more support? Can I provide more support? And so I think, especially as entrepreneurs, but again, mm-hmm. as all humans, looking for those opportunities to say, what does this mean about me?
Right.
We can choose a rejection. So I was just listening to my own podcast episode from today, and I was talking about how not that long ago, I got rejected from a program. I was basically kind of told, mm-hmm. you're not a fit for the program. And it mm-hmm. hurt because mm-hmm. I had a lot riding on this. I was really excited about it. I had a lot of mm-hmm. emotion wrapped up in mm-hmm. this. And so at first, of course, it's the feelings of not good enough, of guilt, of shame, right. all those horrible feelings, disappointment,
yeah. Yeah.
Deep sadness for a couple of days. Really, it was like quite a monumentous event for me. Mm-hmm. And then I asked myself, what's good about this mm-hmm. scenario?
Yeah. Right?
Isn't that just such a great question?
With
anything.
So good. Once you've allowed yourself to feel, because sometimes we don't have enough of that time to digest it and right away we want to reframe. I think that allowing ourselves to feel, to acknowledge that we're hurt, we're disappointed, letting those feelings bubble up. And, you know, that sends that message that it's safe to have those feelings. It's human to have those feelings. And then it's much easier to move towards the reframe. Like, what can I learn from this? Where can I go? What am I going to make this mean?
Yeah, I agree completely. I think too often we try to squash the bad feels. I mean, mm-hmm. and you know, with the work that you do, how unhelpful that is.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because, you know, I am a very positive person. I'm not somebody that experiences this type of rejection a lot at this mm-hmm. stage of my career. So it did force me to stop. And yeah, I did feel those feelings. And it probably took 3 or 4 days for the physical feeling to actually yeah. leave my body. Like yeah. I was waking up feeling heavy. I get that feeling is sort of like solar plexus. Mm-hmm, just mm-hmm. waking up, shortness of breath. Like yeah. I could tell that I was just like getting by in those
yeah.
first
yeah,
3 or 4
mode.
Days.
Yeah.
And then things shifted. Physically, I felt lighter. I felt more capable to think clearly as well mm-hmm. because I had gone through I guess a bit of a grieving process, you know,
right.
With any rejection. It's like, here's the expectation. It wasn't met. And so can we take some time to feel the feelings? It is kind of like grief, grieving what was lost or even the potential of something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. The hope of something. Yeah. What it was going to be. Yeah. I like that you mentioned that starting to feel more capable. And I think rejection is a gift that can help us increase our resilience and increase our capacity and increase our knowledge of how capable we actually are. And I do, you know, coming back when I think of like the experiences with my kids, because they've had so many and there's been a lot of rejection in their lives. I often have to remind myself that that is preparing them, increasing their capacity to be able to handle something else in the future. And then now that my kids are all young adults, when I have conversations with them, I can draw on when they're going through something that's difficult. Well, remember when this was the experience that they had, maybe they were rejected for something, and this is what you did and you got through it. And I think that if we're always trying to protect our kids, if we're always trying to protect ourselves from not having that rejection, we really are robbing ourselves from developing the capacity and the resilience to not only deal with what's happening with us now, but dealing with things that we don't even know are coming in the future. And that to me, I'm just like, okay, this rejection, it feels horrible now, but maybe it's going to serve me in some way that I don't even know what that's going to be. But I want to use it in that way. I want to think about it in that way.
And 100%, it always does. Like, it's not even a maybe. It is for sure this will benefit me in some way in the future. And there's so many different ways it can benefit. But to share an example from my world. Mm-hmm. So I work with a lot of mom entrepreneurs who are trying to grow a business to like their first six figure, like mm-hmm. to grow a real business. Yeah. And so they're putting offers out there. They're getting yeses. They're getting nos. They're trying again. A common scenario, and one that I have a few clients working with right now, actually, I put out my first group program and nobody is buying. The feeling of rejection is very real. And I think we come from this place of wanting to justify what is happening. So mm-hmm. a common response to this is my program must be too expensive. Mm-hmm. Otherwise they would buy. Mm-hmm. And as a coach, what's great about this is A, I've been through this myself and I've coached so many people through this. So I can kind of sit there and say, it could be that you're too expensive, mm-hmm. but what else could it be? Mm-hmm. They might say, oh, well, it might be that just the dates didn't work for them. Okay, mm-hmm. what else could it be? Well, it might be that they really wanted more of a personal option and not a group experience. What else could it be? And if I do this enough, usually they're able to find six or seven mm-hmm. other opportunities. And as entrepreneurs specifically, I would also say, again, all humans, but specifically mm-hmm. as entrepreneurs, it's teaching us these critical thinking skills, because the easy answer is to just blame it on price, right? Oh, I'm too expensive. But that's 9 times out of 10, it's actually not true. Mm-hmm. And it forces them to figure out what does need to shift in order for me to get the yeses next time. Oftentimes it isn't the price, but it's the perceived value.
Right.
So it's how the program was marketed. And so now I am helping these people not only get over the pain, mm-hmm. but more importantly, learn how to be stronger entrepreneurs, right? We're building our toolkit just by asking ourselves these questions.
Yeah. Well, and you're literally building the pathways in your brain. Like when you think about if your go-to, and that's, I think, a typical one, and I've done it a million times when I put something out, it has been rejected. Oh, it must be the price. If I just like let it sit with that, that strengthens that pathway in my brain.
Yeah.
So then it gets played over, over and over and over that it's always about the dollars. It's always about the money. It's always about that. If I never entertain, what else could it be? Like that very powerful question. I don't build all those other pathways. And so instead of being able to have like a tree that has tons of branches built in my brain, I just have this one unhelpful superhighway that I keep developing over and over. And I think that when we try to reframe, that's the beauty of reframing, is reframing allows you to start creating more and more and more pathways. And not only does that allow you to develop your cognitive reserve and your cognitive capacity, but it allows you to open up your perspective. And then that can shift how you actually feel and allows you to see, like you said, other opportunities. There's opportunities for growth or opportunities to, you know, try something completely different. So it's very powerful.
I love that analogy of the one superhighway. And I think as you teach your people, this is how our brains are wired. And I think when I'm going through a moment of rejection or I'm helping somebody through rejection, I think it's important to remember that our brains are wired a certain way for a reason. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that we can't change that. And I think, you know, I also love the question, is this thought serving me?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So again, the fact is I've got rejected. The thought around the fact might be I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. And so to pause and say, okay, if the thought is I'm not good enough, is this thought serving me? Or would another thought actually serve me better? And that's where we start to get to the really good answers. So to go back to my scenario, that question that I asked myself eventually after the pain of the rejection mm-hmm. wore off, and I was able to sit with my journal and I journaled on what's good about this.
Mm-hmm.
I filled an entire page and then some about positive things mm-hmm. that actually came as a result of the rejection.
Mm-hmm.
And they were things like, well, because I didn't get into this program, I now have more time back.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm not focusing on X so much, I can now have bandwidth to focus on Y, which is maybe something else I enjoyed. So before long, I actually didn't just, it wasn't just me kind of playing mind games with myself. I actually fully believed it. And now looking back on that, this was months ago, by the way, but looking mm-hmm. back on that, I'm like, thank God I didn't get into that.
I know that often has. I did a podcast episode a little while ago where I talked about things aren't always what they seem. And I had given an example of, I remember one time my husband had gone through the whole process for a job, received the offer and everything. And he ended up asking a question about something and they rescinded the offer. We had been thinking, this is the perfect job. This is exactly what's great for our family. This is all these things. And then one question. And then it did spiral into that rejection because that whole feeling of like, oh, I messed this up and it's all my fault and so forth. It wasn't even that long down the road. We realized like that would have been terrible for us. That would not have been the opportunity for him. And so many other doors were open up. But in the moment, often it's hard to see that there could be a different side of this. There could be a lot of benefits. And sometimes I think you have to go digging and seeking and really be very intentional of what can be good. How can I create? And on that same episode, I talked about this idea of creating the message, creating what is going to be positive out of something that maybe you're rejected and didn't go your way.
I love this. And I love that you empower people to know that it is in our control. Like mm-hmm. however we choose to frame or reframe something is entirely up to us. You know, nobody has to give us permission. Nobody has to say you're allowed. Like you get to choose how you view everything. And yeah. I just wrote down as you were speaking, I said little pain now versus big pain later. And a great example of this, you know, the story that you told, we don't know what would have happened had that ended up, had he been able to accept that offer. We don't know. But I can give you some examples of this. Way back in the early days of me signing on clients, sometimes there would be clients that were demonstrating what I call the red flags, right?
Yeah.
You're seeing stuff you don't want to mm-hmm. be seeing. They're kind of questioning your worth. They don't seem mm-hmm. to really understand your value. They started to talk about things like, things that you don't offer that they want you to offer. There's one client in particular that I remember sitting with this thought right after the discovery call thinking, I don't know about this one. I feel like she might not be a fit, but I need the money. Mm-hmm. And this was again, very early yeah. days. True story. I did need yeah. the money. I needed to pay the bills. So I mm-hmm. said yes to working with her anyway. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, 3 or 4 months into the journey,
complaint after complaint after question after judgment after, and eventually we had to get on a phone call. This person wanted to just quit. And I said, no, we're going to have a conversation. But the process that I had to go through and the amount of emotional energy that was required to solve the problem was so much bigger than what would have been the short-term pain of not getting the client. You know, yes, there was an emotional piece. Yes, there was a financial piece, but it was small pain versus the big pain of going down a wrong path.
That's it.
So I really do believe that the universe provides us with these opportunities for a reason. Yeah. And most of the time I choose to think it is for my personal growth.
That's it.
I might not like it at the moment.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, there's that expression, you know, rejection is God's protection or rejection is the universe's protection. Ooh. Whatever. I use that like every time rejection comes up, I remind myself of that. I believe that the universe is always got my back. God, the universe, whatever your belief is, I think that there is an element of protection there. And so when you're rejected, sometimes my question is, I wonder what I was being protected from. And that can be enough for me to just move on. Like sometimes I want to go down and depending on the type of rejection, I guess, and do the digging and do the reframing. And sometimes it's just enough for me to go, I wonder what I saved myself from. I wonder what I was being protected from and just move right on.
I love this. And it, you know, something that just came up for me too as a very interesting reframe that we could all adopt is that if we're not getting rejected, we're not actually growing. It means that we're not trying new things.
Yes. And it makes me think you're not putting yourself out there enough. Yeah.
Yeah. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Exactly.
Thank you, Wayne Gretzky. But like, if you're sitting on the couch watching the hockey game.
Exactly. Yeah.
You're not going to get. And I see this so much with people who want to quit their jobs and want to run a business, but they're not quite ready yet. And they're not making the right move. So they're doing things like, I'll build my website or I'll start my social. But until you actually start having discovery calls and pitching your offers and getting rejected, you're not actually growing as an entrepreneur. You're playing at entrepreneurship, which feels fun. Yeah. But unless you get into a situation where you could be rejected, then how can you possibly grow? You can't.
Yeah.
So in order to reach the next level of anything, you know, we were just talking before we hit record. I have a daughter who's in competitive cheerleading. She takes it very seriously. She is fierce and she's a flyer. So she's at the top of the pyramid. Well, she's moving up the ranks, even though she's only 12. And she's trying stunts that are like so hard, like so hard. And sometimes they do come down and sometimes she does fall and she does get injured and she does come home with bruises. But she knows that in order to even get considered for the next level, she has to try things that she is not certain she's going to be able to hit every time. And that's just human expansion.
That's how you grow. I know I offer to my clients, I'll ask them like, what are your fail goals? Like, what are the goals that you're putting out there? Knowing that in all likelihood that you're going to fail. It reminds me of, there's a TED talk and I can't remember the name. It's very old talk and I'll put it in the show notes. I think it's called like the Year of Rejection or something. But essentially it's a guy who goes out and he wants to improve his ability to handle rejection. And so he makes a list of ways that he's going to be rejected. And like really out of there, the first one, he gives the example of asking for a burger refill. And he gives this idea that we have drink refills and it's normal to go and ask for a drink refill, but he would go and he would ask for the burger refill and they would look at him and be like, no. And he was like, oh, okay. And he said, and it was embarrassing and filled with shame. But then he gives this example that he went to a Krispy Kreme and he asked them, will you create donuts for me that are, I guess it was the time of the Olympics, that are in the shape of the Olympic symbol. And the person was like, yeah, we can. And he was like, oh my gosh. And so he started doing this like really outrageous, like knocking at people's doors saying, hello, can I plant this tree in your backyard? And the person would say like, no. And then he started asking, well, why not? assuming that they would say, because you're weird and you're knocking at the door. He said, well, one person said to me, like, well, because I don't have really good light back there, go ask my neighbor across the street. And so all these little things that he learned was, first of all, sometimes you do get a yes when you put yourself out there. Second of all, you can get used to, you can teach yourself how to handle rejection and not make it about you. And thirdly, is sometimes the reason you're rejected is not the reason that you assume. It's something completely different. And so asking yourself or asking others, like, well, why not? To get that feedback so that there may be something you can reframe or change. Or anyhow, it's a fantastic TED Talk. And I just love the concept because that is how we grow. That's the only way we grow, when we put ourselves in the arena.
I love that too. And what I love about it is that it's lighthearted and fun. I think so often, you know, maybe this is something to do with middle age, being mothers, and the heaviness that we carry, the weight that we carry, the responsibility. Sometimes we get to a place in life where we stop having fun with stuff and we stop stretching ourselves because we're just so tired of not getting it right. You That's know, right. Like, I've gone through seasons, like, I just can't have one more thing that I'm failing at. So yeah. I get that. But I think that there's an element of play too with how we view rejection and also how we do our jobs, because in any job, in any career, you're going to experience rejection, whether it's rejection from a promotion or a job offer that you want, or in my case, a client, a speaking opportunity. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen if you're stretching yourself. It's going to happen. But if we can approach it from that place of, like, what can I learn about myself? Mm-hmm. What can I learn about the situation? In my case, what can I learn about my customers and what they actually want?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But also, like, how could I have a little bit more fun with this? Mm-hmm. So a lot of times I'll tell my clients, if they're in a launch and it requires them to do sales calls, I'll say, like, what's your goal for no's? And they'll go, what do you mean? Exactly. And I said, well, how many no's do you want to get? I know you want to get 10 people into this group program. How many no's do you think you're also going to get? And so that just puts it in perspective that, yeah, well, I'm not going to talk to 10 people and all 10 people are going to say yes. That would be kind of unheard of,
right?
Unless you're working with a very warm list, but most people are not. So, you know, they'll say, oh, well, I guess if I wanted to get 10 yeses, I probably have to talk to 30 people, because that's, you know, about a 33% conversion rate if I get 10 out of 30. So great. Let's get started on those 20 no's.
Yeah, let's get rejected. Let's go.
And I'll tell you this. If you are someone who is in an entrepreneurial space or a sales space, and it's an uncomfortable space for you, selling is uncomfortable, one of the fastest ways to get comfortable with it is to give yourself a challenge of just doing X number of discovery calls with no expectation of the yes or no. Because if you looked at your calendar and said, okay, in the next month, I'm going to try to have 4 discovery calls a week, 16 discovery calls in the month. Guaranteed by the end of 16 calls, you're going to get really good at it.
Right.
You're also going to get really good at listening, learning what they like, learning what they don't like, learning what gets the yes, learning what doesn't get the yes.
Right.
And there are certain skills in life. You can read as many books as you want about selling, but until you get on that Zoom call and start to sell yourself, you're not going to really learn how to sell. So there are just certain things in life that the best way to get good at it is through repetition. It really is through as much reps as you possibly can in a short amount of time too, because that's also going to get you over the nervousness about doing something that is, again, a stretch for you.
Yeah. Yeah. That reminds me of the story. I've heard it told about a professor who was teaching photography or pottery. I've heard it both ways, but teaching photography, he divided the class in two and he told one half of the class, the only thing you have to do to get a good grade is to take one picture, but it needs to be your best picture. And the other half of the class, he said, you just have to take as many pictures as possible. And that's how you'll get the grade. And in the end, we're going to look and we're going to see where the best picture comes from. Well, of course, the people went out trying to get that perfect one and the perfect lighting and so forth. And other people just went out there and they just took pictures. And the end of the story was, who do you think ended up having the best pictures? It was the group that just went out there and snapped and snapped and snapped. And I remind myself of that all the time, because the tendency is I just only want to do it when I think it's the best and I'll put it out there. but reminding myself the rejection is going to help me in learning and shaping and changing. And this worked and that doesn't work. And I need to be taking as many pictures as possible, not worrying about the outcome of them, just knowing just over and over and over. And so it reminds me of that directly with the sales calls, that yeah. as many sales calls over and over, it doesn't matter what the outcome is, because it is the process that is refining your skills.
Yeah, and I would agree completely. And the thing that I would also remind people to is whatever it is you're working on where there may be this looming rejection, it is a journey, right? Mm-hmm. So it may be, I mean, we're coming out of a pretty big recession. I've had a lot of businesses tell me they've struggled in the last year. They're not getting as many yeses as they mm-hmm. used to or as yeah. easily. So yeah. the rejection is very real. But the thing that I try to remind them is it might be a no, and that might not be what you want to hear, but it also might be a not right now.
Yeah.
And that is the case with anything yeah. to do with running a business is persistence really is such a great skill to cultivate. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take a lot.
Yeah.
I remember I had a teacher tell me once, one of my favorite teachers, she wrote in my report card, Leanne is extremely tenacious. And I didn't know what that word meant. So I had to go and look it up. And I remember feeling so proud. And to this day, I'm like, I am tenacious. I am the girl that just won't quit. Unless I really get a sense that something just isn't for me. Not that it's uncomfortable, but I'm really just feeling that sense of misalignment. And I can usually learn to let those things go. But, you know, this is a long game. We're playing mm-hmm. a long game here. And I think recognize that you just might not be in a season of flow and it might feel harder in the moment, but you might wait 6 months, a year, and then all of a sudden they all come yep. out of the woodwork, the clients, the opportunities, the promotions, whatever it is. I've definitely lived through seasons like that where I'm like, I don't know what's in the air right now, but they That's right. want me so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And usually I think it's been cumulative. Like it's yes. sort of like sometimes we look and we think like, and then all of a sudden, but it often isn't just all of a sudden. It's all of a sudden following, you know, lots of commitment and lots of movement. And just, you just maybe didn't recognize it, or you weren't seeing that cumulative effect, compound effect essentially of what it is. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I've hit this certain mark. Yeah, but you've spent a lot of time just keep going at it, going at
yeah.
it.
Yeah, it seems sudden, but it's that you've been planting those seeds all along. I'll have clients who will say, I'm ready to work with you now. And they have, quote unquote, rejected me three yeah. or four times over yeah. the course of 3 or 4 years. I'll have people who've said, I've been waiting for the right time and that time is now. And it's been 2 years that they've yeah. actually been in my world. So we have yeah. to remember that for some of the work that we're doing and for some of our mm-hmm. journeys, it's meant to be a longer journey. It doesn't right. mean that it's going to feel good all the time, but yeah. trust that with every rejection, you're not getting rejected. You've planted that seed. Whenever sales are slow in my business or anyone else's business, I try to remind, it may feel slow, but you are planting the seeds and trust that harvest time is coming.
That's right. Because there's a season to sow and then the season to harvest. I think that's, yeah, yeah.
That really is true. And I think in all of this too, one of the best pieces of advice that I could give parents, children, career people, business people is try to be kind to yourself mm-hmm. too. Right? Really try to develop a loving language for yourself so that when you do have moments where you feel like you've been rejected, you have a means of talking to yourself and coaching mm-hmm. yourself out of that too. Mm-hmm. Right? And literally it might be just before you go to bed, if you've had a tough day, you lie down and you say, I love you. Mm-hmm. I care about you. I think you're great. Tomorrow's mm-hmm. going to be better. As adults, we forget that. Yeah. One of the saddest parts about being in midlife and having lost a parent is nobody parents us anymore.
I know. You know, like we have to be that parent for ourselves.
We do. And sometimes yeah. I'll have a tough day and I'll say, okay, if my dad was here, mm-hmm. what would I want him to say to me right now? I'd want him to put his arm around me and say, it's going to be okay. Or, you know, we can tell the people in our life, this is what I need from you. Or mm-hmm. we can also just
give it
step to ourselves. Into that role and do it for ourselves. Learn how to love ourselves through the good times and the not so good times. I think it's just a skill that we all need to continue to cultivate and come back to.
I love that. I love that. And I think that's a perfect place for us to wrap up by, you know, that self-compassion. I always say to my clients, you have to have it with every meal. It has to be sprinkled throughout your day. Just everything you do is filled with that self-compassion. Thank you so much for this conversation all about rejection. Please tell everybody where they can find more of your wisdom.
Oh, well, if you enjoy podcasts, you should be listening to mine. It is called The Business of Thinking Big. And actually, Leah, you've been on the show before. So maybe we can link to your episode that you were on the show.
Yeah.
That was a great conversation.
Yeah, it was. I'll definitely link it in the notes.
Yeah. And then if you are on social media, you can find me pretty much anywhere at Leanne Kim Coach.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. You have a great presence on social media. I learned so much. So to just really follow along and get some tips, not just for business, but definitely for life, because I think, you know, it's the business of life. It's what we're doing. 100%. So thank you so much. And I will see everybody next time. Take care. Thank you for listening to the Building Resilience Podcast. If you're interested in learning a little bit more about managing stress, building resilience, and leading a more purposeful life, then make sure we're connected on Instagram and Facebook at Leah Davidson Life Coaching. You can also subscribe to my weekly newsletter at www.leahdavidsonlifecoaching.com/newsletter. Looking forward to connecting.